has been all the way from one end of the spectrum to the other. The crime is heinous. It was an attempted murder. And I don't know, I thought, you know, because everything can be on video nowadays, that would be a good thing. But watching things like that happen on video is not a good thing. It really can be nauseating. It can be baffling. It can be angering. I don't know if that's a word, but trust me, that's the way I felt. And as I went through this week of deliberating with 11 other adults, it quickly became very clear that some people think differently than others. It became very difficult for me to understand how somebody can watch a video of an act and not believe their eyes. And to be honest with you, this angered me extremely. I left the courthouse on Thursday crying because I was so mad. I drove home asking the Lord, you know, why am I this way? I know better than this. I know who's in control. I know all the stuff that you tell me in your word. Where was that when I was sitting in that room fighting? And I fought. I became a real mean person in there, to be honest with you. And the Lord was preparing me for tonight. Those who have tasted the grace of God, those who have experienced the mercy in our Creator, those who have seen the love of God given to His people through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we know. We know that the battle is fought daily. We know that the battle is fought hourly. Our pastor said it this morning, we know that the battle is fought every minute. We can't go anywhere out in the world where we are not tested by perverse and profane things. Not just the immoral things of this world, like homosexuality, all the perversions that we have with that, all the other stuff too. But religious perversions also. The religion of works is all around us. How many Grace Baptist churches can you count on your hand? Only one in this area. In the state of California, I only know of four. Two in Oregon. There's one thing you can count on when you're hearing some religious person speaking, and that is look what I or we have done. I helped the poor. I changed my life. I accepted Christ. Look at all the good we have accomplished through the money that we raise in our religious organization. Look at all the souls that we have brought into our church. There's a person I know who their church is it's a food bank for the homeless. They feed and clothe the homeless. And that person has bragged to me about how many homeless people attend their services on Sunday. If that's the only place I had to get my food. You know, Christ talked to some people about that. He told them the only reason you go out there is to fill your bellies. And they brag about that. And I know they don't preach the gospel there. Look at all the good that we have accomplished. Look at all the souls that we have brought into our church. These things would be good if they weren't driven by pride. Truth is, our very worst enemy is ourselves, our very own pride. In my devotional last Sunday, you don't need to turn there, but I took us over to Luke chapter 10, and I brought out how the 70 had returned again with joy. For those of you who maybe weren't here last Sunday. The 70 that were sent out by Christ to go out and heal the sick, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. But the Lord rebuked them. The Lord told them in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The pride, even just a little bit, snuck in there, and they took joy. Wow, this is great. Look what we have done. And God said, no, don't take joy in that. Take joy that your name is written in heaven. Pride is our enemy. In Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. In Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. 1 Peter 5:5, for God resisteth the proud. Is it not pride that destroyed the devil and a third of all the angelic hosts? Remember his words? What was his words? I will be like the Most High. His pride was in himself. Today's no different, folks. The devil is still deceiving himself and all that he can. He goes about roaring like a lion, devouring whom he can. He and all that follow him stand in the pulpits of churches all over this world, declaring that they have power over the Most High. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In verse 14, and no marvel at that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. They stand before millions declaring that they believe in Jesus, yet they deny his power by saying, it is up to you to reject or to receive him. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, I tell you now, there was a day when every one of us, every one of God's people, were in that same camp. Because of pride, we could not see the truth. We could not see that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We could not see that we were vessels shaped to the pleasure of him who is the potter. We could not see that our hearts were as black as could be and that there was no love for God in us. We were not looking for him. Oh, I said in my opening, is not our God amazing? We weren't looking for him, but he came looking for us. He knew we were out here somewhere. He knew right where we'd be, and he came in his time of love. Oh. The problem now, folks, is that pride is still with us. We may no longer be of this world, but we are still in it. Our old desires can pop up at any time. Doubts. The doubt of, Lord, what in the world is going on with me? Why would I say those things to those people? Why would I be that kind of a person when that's not the way I am? Doubts can filter in when we least expect them. There's a war going on in every one of us. Our old nature, the nature of pride, is fighting the new nature, the nature of humbleness. We are the creature and he is the creator. We see a description of this war here in Ephesians 6, if you're with me, starting in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are all things that we have to fight on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. These are all things that can pop up in our own selves when pride pops up. That's the wickedness in high places, the pride of our own heart. But let's back up for just a moment and start where Paul begins this exhortation. Back up to verse 10 with me, if you would, please. Finally, my brethren. Now, continue on. Finally, my brethren. Paul's talking to the believers. I'm talking to you tonight. If you're in the same boat that I am, a sinner that was saved by grace, one who can look back on what we have been brought out of, if you are a brother with me in Christ, finally, be strong in the Lord. We have nothing in ourselves. And you know that, don't you? We have nothing of ourselves. There's nothing in us to do this. We have to rely on the strength in the Lord and in the power of His might. He has all power. He is God Almighty, the creator of all things. The worlds were made by His hands, by His thoughts. He has all power. Be strong, my brethren, in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods, the trickery, the deceitfulness. You see, he is the master of deceit. He is so good at being deceitful that he lied to himself and believed it. So did we. We didn't know it. So were we. He actually thinks that he can stop the Son of God. That's why he goes about roaring as a lion. Thinking he's going, oh yeah, I'll get who I want. I can get somebody. I can get somebody who's supposed to go to Jesus. No, he won't. And so did we at one time. We thought we could stop the Son of God. There was a time when I thought that I had the power of my own destiny. There was a time when I thought I didn't need God. And then one day he brought me into the preaching of his gospel and showed me. He showed me that this phrase, but God, who is rich in mercy with a love for his chosen people, but God could not leave me in that pit of destruction. Because I was chosen before the world was, I could not be left on the whims of my own imagination. Because of the covenant that was made between the great three and one, all that the Father gave the Son shall come to him. Let's continue now and look at the tools that God has given us to fight off these principalities, these rulers of darkness of this world, this spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 14. Wait a minute. Did I miss 13? I did. Sorry. Let's go to verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth.
Amen.
Girt. This word girt means to cinch up or to tighten or to wrap. In those days people wore a kind of a robe-like thing. And then they would usually have some kind of a girdle on underneath. But they had a robe, and they would cover themselves, and it would be kind of open, kind of like a bathrobe. And they would have a belt. And that's what that means. Cinch up your belt. Tighten up your belt. Wrap yourself. We are to wrap our robes, tighten our belts with truth. Our Christ Jesus, the God-man, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the sovereign ruler over all that is, He is the truth.
Yes,
allow me to read an article is in today's bulletin, by Horatius Bonar. He writes, On true doctrine rests the worship of the true and living God. From error in doctrine springs the worship of a false God. There is a tendency among many religious people to undervalue true doctrine. to exalt morality at the expense of the character of God and the teachings of our Lord, and to deny the importance of sound creed. I do not doubt that a second creed has often covered an unusual life. But when I hear it said, such and such do not believe the doctrines of grace and substitution, but they love the Lord and are saved, I wonder and ask, what then was the Bible written for? Is it no infallible expression of the mind of God? Is it no standard of truth? Are we to believe what appeals to us and deny the rest? God forbid. God's word declares the oneness of truth and condemns every departure from the truth as a direct attack on God Himself. Do not tell me that a man's heart is right with God when his head contains a creed of error and denies the person and the work of our Redeemer. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In James 1:18, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. When we wrap ourselves in the truths of Scripture, we see ourselves as we are and our Creator for who He is. The most easily forgotten truth is the truth of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I tend to forget that I have no righteousness of my own at times. How often do I give you the example of the game of golf? It only takes one hit for me to think I am a really good golfer. And then I hit another one and remember, oh no, I'm not. I know I've used that before. The Lord really presses that on my heart. I have no righteousness of my own. Everything is of Him. The breastplate of righteousness reminds me of this very truth. For when I see in the Word of God that Christ Jesus was the only one to ever walk this earth perfectly, that He established a perfect righteousness for His people, I see that He is my righteousness. If there's any good in me, it's His righteousness that is performed. All the glory goes to Him. In verse 15, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As we walk through this world, we cover our steps with the good news of peace, a peace that can only come from our Lord and Savior. We are given an example of this peace in Mark 4:39, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The only peace in the world is the peace of Christ. By Him being God, He has power over all things. And power over all things, you can't stop that. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. For in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We see here His sovereignty and His power, God in the flesh. The world of sin, in the world it says we shall have tribulation. This world is the world of sin. The tribulation is our own sin. Yes, we may have other tribulation, but what are the real battles that we fight daily? I don't know about you, but mine is my sin. Because He loved us, though, He came and paid that ransom price for that sin, the sins of all His people. Because He is God, our sins have been forgiven from all past to all future. We are complete, complete in Him. And this is the truth of the Word. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He made it white as snow. This is great news. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we as sinners can speak of, because we are sinners ourselves, and we know that this news of Him being sovereign, the one who went to the cross and paid for our sins, we know the good news of that. We have experienced it. This is a truth that is revealed throughout all of Scripture. I am a great sinner, and Christ is my Savior. Now, I'm going to skip verse 16 on purpose for a moment because I'll come back to it. So if you would, look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet covers the head. That's where my mind is. You might not know that sometimes. You ask Kathy, she'll tell you it's not there all the time. That's where my thoughts are. That's where my true heart is. Not the one that pumps the blood, the heart of my soul. When the sin of debt creeps in, I can protect myself by looking to Christ. The truths of Christ push out the doubts. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I shall in no wise cast them out. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall separate me from the love of Christ Jesus? These truths are found in God's Word. The very Word that is spoken of in the last part of this verse 17, the Word of the Spirit, it reveals and it hides these truths that are in God's Word. Just a footnote to what we just spoke about there. I said that the truths of Christ push out the doubts. I want to take you back to a conversation that the Lord was having with the devil in the wilderness. Remember the time when the Lord was being tempted by the devil? You remember how he rebuked the devil? As it is written. The Word. Christ himself used his very own Word to rebuke Satan. If it's good enough for Christ, it better be good enough for us. That's why this sword, the sword that the Spirit reveals or hides these truths with, that's why it's described as a two-edged sword. Blessed is the man who has these truths revealed to him. So now let's go back to verse 16, and I'll bring this to a close. Or we'll get there in a second. Not quite. I said that a little too quickly. Verse 16. Above all. Above all. Let that sink in for just a moment. Above all other instruction. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. You see, faith in Christ Jesus is the center of all these truths. Whosoever believeth on me shall not perish. To believe the Word of God is to have that shield of faith. Christ Jesus is the Word of God. Christ Jesus is our shield. And above all, we put on the Lord. In Romans 10:17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Turn over to Romans 8:28, if you would. Oh, how often we read these words. But this is the battle that we fight, folks. This is the battle inside of us that we fight. The battle of self. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? That just blesses my socks off, people. If God be for me, I can't even be against myself. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me, us, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, John.
I said this morning that I just believed you come out and hear this man this evening, you would not be disappointed. I wasn't disappointed. That was a good message. Thank you, brother, for pointing me to Christ. I'm like the man we read about in the scriptures. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I do believe what John preached, and I believe the truths of the gospel. That's all because of God's gift of faith and giving us a heart to believe. But oh, God, help us not to take belief lightly. That's no light thing. God himself has performed that miracle in us, giving us that heart to receive him and all of the gospel truths that he's pleased to reveal to us. And we're sojourners. This world's not my home. We're on our way to glory. So let's sing about that. If you'll turn to hymn number 555, stand with me as we sing, which our brother John asked that we would close with, We're Marching to Zion, 555, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.